In heaven, you won't be a pastor, a missionary, a businessman, a student, a stockbroker, a sports star, or a stay-at-home mum. All these things pass away. So it's a good thing, if we want to live life wisely, to make a list of all the things that will pass away, and then to put alongside it the things we know will remain.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, just noticed that you've basically told us that we're going to be unemployed. No job today.
Well, as a pastor, I guess I'm also going to be in
there. Exactly.
Do you know, here is a thing. We must not live for our work. And that includes those who are in vocational ministry as well, that which we offer into the hands of Christ lasts forever. But no job, no position, no particular employment that any person has lasts forever. Of course, heaven will be full of creativity and full of activity, but it will be very, very different. We must not become worshippers of those things that pass away.
Man, that is a good reminder. But you just a moment ago encouraged us to actually make a list of all these things that are passing away. Why?
Because otherwise they will become too important in our lives.
Little idols.
That's right. And we end up holding on to the things that God has given to us as a trust that we're to hold with an open hand. I'm given the gift of marriage. I'm given the gift of children. These things are given in this life. And all of the things of this life will pass away. And then I will go into eternity. And then there will be relationships still in eternity. We shall know one another in heaven. But we're going to be in a different kind of situation. So if I'm holding on to what is now, I just got it wrong, and I'm not making the right use of the great gifts of God in this life.
Well, we're going to look at this a little further in today's broadcast, so I hope you'll stay with us. Right now, though, I hope you'll open your Bible and join us, if you can, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as we begin the message, How Can Love Last? Here's Pastor Colin.
I want to begin with a simple word of explanation about how we should understand this passage, because there really is an important issue just to settle in our minds so that we can know how to interpret the passage correctly. So, word of explanation. Then I want to make two simple observations that will take us to the heart and the thrust of what Paul is saying here. And then we will be in a position, I think, very clearly to identify the answer, the very wonderful answer to the question, how can love last? So a short explanation, two observations, and then the answer to this great question. First, then, the explanation, and I hope you have your Bible open, and we'll look at verse 10. Because there's a big issue here that has to be settled for us to rightly understand what Paul is teaching us here in this passage of the Bible. What does Paul mean when he says in verse 10, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears? What is this perfection that's going to come and then the imperfect will disappear? That's really the key question, I think, in rightly understanding this passage. Now, down through the centuries of Christian history, some have suggested that this perfection that Paul speaks of here is the perfect revelation that we have in the Scriptures, which are without error because they are given by inspiration of God. And those who have interpreted the passage this way argue that the spiritual gifts of prophecy and tongues and knowledge were given by God only until the New Testament was completed, and that when the church received the full revelation of the Scriptures, that these gifts of prophecy and tongues and particular knowledge revealed by God, that they ceased and that they then passed away, and that this is what Paul is saying in verse 10 when he says, when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now, there is a long history of that understanding of this passage of Scripture, but I want to say to you this morning that I do not believe that that is what Paul is saying here, and here's why. If you look at verse 12, you will see that Paul contrasts our experience now, obviously when he was writing the letter to the Corinthians, and our experience then, which is when the perfection comes. And he makes two contrasts. Notice first he says, now we see a poor reflection, but then, that is when the perfection comes, we shall see face to face. Now, God has given us a wonderful revelation of himself in the Scriptures. But it really stretches language and stretches credibility, I think, to suggest that the knowledge of God we have in the Scriptures is a face-to-face knowledge, surely the knowledge of God face-to-face in Christ remains for another day that still is ahead. And then he makes a second contrast. Now I know in part, then, that's when the perfection comes, I will know fully, even as I am fully known. And again, we thank God for everything that we know of him in the scriptures, but surely it stretches credibility to suggest that that we know God fully in what is revealed in the Bible. That awaits another day. The scriptures themselves say that the secret things belong to the Lord, and only the things that have been revealed belong to us. So I draw the conclusion then from this, that the perfection that Paul talks about in verse 10 cannot be the completion of the New Testament or anything else in our experience or our Christian growth in this world. The perfection that he speaks about in verse 7 surely then must refer to heaven, the great day when you will be translated into the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you will know fully, and then you will see face to face. If you are a Christian, this will happen either at the moment of your death as you're translated into the presence of Christ, or if you are still alive, if we're still alive at that time, when Jesus Christ appears in glory and the Bible says his people will be caught up to meet him in the air, and so we will be forever with the Lord. That is when the perfection comes. Now, I think that's very important for us to settle in our minds that when Paul talks about what lies ahead, what remains, the perfection that is to come, he is pointing us to the glories of heaven and the blessings that lie ahead in the presence of Jesus. Now, that's the explanation. I want to move on to two simple observations from this passage. When the perfection comes, Paul says, you need to remember that some things will pass away and other things will remain. That's the thrust of what he's teaching us here, and when we grasp it, I think we will be ready to answer our big question. Let's look first then at the things that pass away, which is really the focus of verse 8 to 10. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Now, Paul is talking here about miraculous gifts that were highly valued in the church at Corinth. And I think it's important to say that he's not attacking them in any way. They are good gifts from God. He is simply saying that these things that were so highly valued, at least by some in the church in Corinth, are things that will not last. That's the point he's making. They will pass away, and of course the reason that they will pass away is that they will be swallowed up in something greater. If you think about a brochure that you might pick up at the travel agent when you're beginning to think and plan your next vacation, and you pick up this brochure, and it is really helpful because it gives to you a wonderful picture of a place that you have never been before, but you are planning to visit on your next vacation. And you enjoy the brochure, it has real value, and it helps you. But as soon as you arrive at the vacation, the brochure is of no continuing value. You're no longer looking at the brochure because your joy is to actually look at the reality that is right there in front of you. I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous for you to stand on the balcony of your hotel in front of this magnificent beach that is laid out and the sea stretching beyond and to stand looking at the brochure right in front of you? You don't do that, do you? You put the brochure aside. Because actually the brochure only gave you a little snapshot. What you see now that you're confronted with the reality is far greater and far more marvelous and far more extensive. The brochure showed you in part, but when you arrived, you saw fully. Now, this is surely what Paul is saying about these gifts. Prophecy speaks of the wonderful works of God. But when you arrive in heaven and behold the glory of his presence, you will not need any prophecy. Why would you need someone to give you a partial description of what you are now looking at and experiencing directly in reality? And tongues may give a person a release of spirit in worshiping God in this world, but when you are in the presence of the angels and your whole soul is bathed and raptured in worship, who needs the gift of tongues in that context then? And what about knowledge? Now remember, Paul is particularly talking about miraculous gifts of knowledge, that is, particular things that God may reveal in a supernatural way that could not otherwise be known. He's not saying that all knowledge will pass away. And we know that, of course, just by looking at verse 12, where he says, in heaven we'll know fully, even as we are fully known. As someone's pointed out rather cleverly, that if all knowledge passed away, nobody could even know it, right? If you see what I mean. And Paul is not saying that all knowledge will pass away, which would be a ludicrous and even a meaningless thing to say. He's saying that these particular gifts of knowledge being revealed to a person about something that they would not otherwise have known, that were so highly valued in Corinth in particular, he says this will pass away, these gifts will be no longer needed, their work will be finished, just as a river ceases to be a river when it flows into an ocean, so these things will be swallowed up in something far greater than themselves and will pass away. Now let's pause for some application before we move a little bit further on. Remember that Paul is teaching a Christian congregation here about worship. And in this particular church to which he's writing in Corinth, there were a number of people who thought that prophecy and tongues and gifts of knowledge were really, really important when it came to the congregation's gathering in worship. And surely what Paul is saying to them here at this point is, look, you need to remember that these things are passing away. And when you realize that they're passing away, you'll get them into perspective and you'll discover they are not half as important as you may think.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called How Can Love Last? It's part of a series from 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that we're calling Love, a Beginner's Guide. And we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen through our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. There you can stream the program through your computer or mobile device, or you can download an MP3 for free. You can also listen on the go if you have the Unlocking the Bible app or if you're podcasting the program. And you'll find those links at our website, unlockingthebible.org. And whether you listen online or on the radio, it's all made possible because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you two of Pastor Colin's books, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and Heaven So Near So Far, The Story of Judas Iscariot. These books are our thank you gift to you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253 or again, unlockingthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Now, if we were to take a survey of this congregation and to ask the question, what do you think is important in worship? We would get 1,000 different answers, and many would be very strongly expressed. This has been true throughout the history of the church. It's true in every church that you will ever visit, that Christian believers have strong feelings in regards to what really matters when it comes to worship. And surely that's one reason why the issue is addressed so directly right here in the Bible. Now, whatever you might put down in such a survey, which we're not going to take, but just suppose we did, whatever you might put down, I want to suggest to you that what you're likely to put down and what I'm likely to put down isn't half as important as either of us think. Because in all likelihood, you will identify, as I will identify, something that's going to pass away. It's just here in this world, it's of great value, but it's like the brochure. Jesus said that God is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That matters. Everything else passes away. So Paul is giving guidance here as an apostle to the church that we keep our focus on what really matters. Now, let's make a broader application because this surely speaks to other issues beyond the sphere of worship. Let's broaden out the question to other things that in this congregation we might think really matter in life. Things that are important, but they are passing away. And I find it very helpful to think of it like this. On the day when I arrive in heaven, I mean, let's just suppose that there's an angel there that welcomes us there. And I arrive and I say, I'm Colin Smith, and I've trusted in Jesus Christ, and I'm a pastor. And I think the angel might well say to me, well, I'm so glad that you've trusted in Jesus Christ, because that is your entrance into heaven. It is only through him. And I'm glad you've been a pastor, but you need to know you're not going to be a pastor here now. Because these folks don't need your preaching. They're right here in the presence of God, and the best you ever did was to describe it in part, and they're looking at the reality. So, been there, done that. Passes away, being a pastor. Someone else introduces themselves. They trusted in Christ, and they've been a missionary. The angel says, well, that's a fantastic thing. You won't be a missionary here, though. All these people know Christ and love him, and they're rejoicing in his presence. You come, what else might we say? You know, I've run my own business. Fantastic. Well, you're not running your own business here, just so you know that. I held this position. You don't hold it now. I made this money. You don't have it now. I was involved in this movement. Oh, that's great. It was a useful movement on earth, but we don't have it here in heaven. It's passed away. In heaven, you won't be a pastor, a missionary, a businessman, a student, a stockbroker, a sports star, or a stay-at-home mum. All these things pass away. So it's a good thing, if we want to live life wisely, to make a list of all the things that will pass away, and then to put alongside it the things we know will remain. I worked a little bit on my list this week and found it really helpful. You'll be able to add to it as you make yours. But I put down these things. Possessions. All my possessions. Everything that I own. Everything that I have earned. Every material thing in my life. Will all pass away. My career. Everything that I accomplish in my work in this world. It'll all pass away. Ministry positions, any position that you only hold for a short time, and then it will pass away. Don't get hung up on some position you hold. Qualifications, we work so hard to get them, and they are of tremendous value in this life, enabling us to do many things and equipping us for good work, but they're only for this world, and then they pass away. Achievements, organization, appearance, how I look. How much attention is that drawing in your life? How much anxiety do you have over your looks? Don't worry too much. Just accept it's passing away. Or strength, vigor. You go down to the gym and see people pumping iron and throwing all this energy into maintaining strength in the body. You know, I was in fantastic shape when I was 20 and 25, and so I'm trying to keep it going to 30, 40, 50 and beyond, and it's passing away. It's passing away. Power. The fulfillment that you experience in being able to lead or to influence others or for your words to carry weight or whatever it is. Will pass away. Someone else will take that role from you. trends. You pride yourself in being up to date. Hey, cutting edge, with it, hip. All of that will pass away. Thank God there are some other things that will pass away. Troubles that seem to be with you year after year, they'll pass away. Illness. You suffer from an illness that debilitates your life. You have had in God's providence to find ways of learning to live with it. Remember, it is passing away. Even if it is with you throughout your life in this world, when the perfect comes, the imperfect will disappear. Frustrations of life passing away. Intractable temptations that seem to dog your progress and be a struggle throughout your Christian life year after year passing away. When perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now, when we grasp what Paul is teaching us here, surely its application is that we learn to hold everything that passes away lightly. Thank God for all the good gifts that he gives in your life, for all the privileges and all the opportunities. But remember that when the perfect comes, everything else will pass away. And when you face great trials and when you face big temptations and frustrations, remember, this is not forever, and you will be encouraged in your battle. The greatest mistake a Christian can make in this life is to major on the things that pass away. Hold lightly to all that passes away. Don't let it fill your horizon. Don't be deceived into thinking that this is your life.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, How Can Love Last? Part of a larger series, Love, a Beginner's Guide. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the series and how the love that we experience or find in this world today is so different from the love of Scripture. Now, that's a love that'll take us a lifetime to learn, but then if you know Christ, you're going to have all of eternity to put that love into practice. You know, the great news about this is that God's not a beginner and he's willing to share his love with you. So if you're curious, you'd like to find out more, you can order a copy of this series on audio CD. Again, the name of the series is Love a Beginner's Guide, and our toll-free number is 1-866-UNLOCKED, and the website is unlockingthebible.org. Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, but as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you not one but two of Pastor Colin's books, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and also Heaven So Near So Far, The Story of Judas Iscariot.
Yeah, Stephen, I think that the story of Judas is really important for this reason. There are many people who are walking away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks sometimes who grew up in a Christian family, maybe professed faith at one time, but now they feel that they don't see any value in it and they walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's exactly what Judas did. And the importance of the story of Judas is it really confronts us with the cost of walking away from Jesus. And I wrote this, the story of Judas, and it's in the first person because I wanted to make it easily accessible for a person to see what's at stake in walking away from Jesus Christ. So if you have someone in your family circle or in your circle of friends who's doubting, who's drifting, who may be in danger of walking away from Jesus Christ, this is a book that you could give to them because it's a plea not only to trust Jesus, but to stay with Jesus because Jesus Christ is the Savior and in him life is found.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book as well as the book Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. Both of these are thank you gift to you as you give a gift of any amount and support the ministry of Unlocking the Bible this month. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, that number 1-866-865-6253 or again, the website unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for doing that, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Some things that are very important in your life right now will eventually pass away. Find out what they are on the next Unlocking the Bible.